The Emmys are coming up on September 20th, and the HBO show Succession got 18 nominations. The show centers around the Roys, a dysfunctional family that owns a media conglomerate. The patriarch, a la Rupert Murdoch, is played by Brian Cox, who was nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor. Here he is in an episode talking with his son, played by Jeremy Strong.
Step up onto the rack. I'm going to pull you limb from limb like a piñata and see what falls out.
Okay, so you want what?
I want the game plan, what the timetable is, capital structure, end game, what they might accept, what their weak points are. But we'll start at the start. When did they approach you?
When did they approach me?
Mm-hmm. Did it take long, or did you open your legs on the first date?
Brian Cox joins me now. Welcome.
My pleasure. Nice to talk.
Well, and congratulations to you on this Emmy nomination. We should say you're not only up for an Emmy, you've also won a Golden Globe for playing Logan. And I wonder what it is like for you to get all this acclaim right now at this stage in your career, which has been a long career.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, really. But I was always told by a lot of people much wiser than me, usually older actors and directors, who said, well, you know, Brian, for you, it's going to be the long haul. Well, I thought it might be the long haul, but this has really been quite a long haul. But, you know, it's not that I have any regrets. I've had a very good career. I've had a great career in the theater here in the UK, and I've had a equally great career in movies and subsequently in television. So it's all timed out rather well.
And what is it like for you to be up against, for the lead actor Emmy, up against your co-star, Jeremy Strong, who plays your son on Succession? Is there any competition there?
No, I just think it's poetic, really. Poetic in the sense that, you know, the conflict that goes on in the show and the father and son conflict, and it's sort of mirrored by the awards, you know. I'm quite sanguine about it, really, you know, because I've been around the pond too many times to actually, you know, I treat it with respect, but it's not my life's blood, you know what I mean?
Well, now the Roys, for people who know the show or don't know the show, have drawn a lot of comparisons to the Murdoch family. Obviously, yeah. In that case, you also have an aging patriarch that owns a media empire, including Fox News. I did see, by the way, when James Murdoch just left News Corporation, Rupert and Lachlan, that would be his father and his brother, put out a statement that said, "We're grateful to James for his many years of service to the company. We wish him the very best in his future endeavors." And I thought, God, it's like an episode of Succession.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the big difference is that, you know, Murdoch, Trump, Redstone's, it's all inherited. Murdoch inherited a newspaper business from his dad. With Logan, she's self-made, you know, it's all, he started with nothing. And so it's got a slightly different edge to it. So in a way that puts a real spin on the relationship with his children, because in a way he loves his children, but they are a consistent disappointment to him. They suffer from being entitled in a way, and they've lost touch with reality, which is very similar to what we're witnessing both with the Prime Minister of the UK and the President of America. So this is something that is very current, you know, and for those kids, that's what they've done. And that's really the angle that Jesse Armstrong, our genius writer, creator, has kind of come with. You know, that's where he's gone. He's moved in that direction. It actually opens up more possibilities in terms of the stories, in terms of the individuals and how the individuals survive and how they do they come to any kind of self-realization about their position.
What do you think it says that this show has gotten such acclaim and also been so popular with viewers at a time of such income inequality around the world, but especially in the United States?
I think that's the precise thing. Shakespeare's great adage is that, you know, in Hamlet's advice to the players, he talks about holding the mirror up to nature. And what Jesse has done is he's held the mirror up to a particular society that's been getting away with it for a very, very long time. And it's also about wealth, and it's about how wealth kind of inures you from everything else. and makes you kind of live in a world which is a parallel universe to a certain extent. And I think it's true. I think we've witnessed it. We've certainly witnessed it with the Trump family. I mean, it's ridiculous. And certainly since publication of Mary Trump's book, you know, we've seen how dysfunctional things are and where that dysfunction comes from. So it's what we do. It's what human beings do. You know, we live in a very confused state, I think. I mean, there's my example of this is I went to a book launch in L.A. that I was invited to by the actress Rosanna Arquette. And it was a book launch for Ronan Farrow's Me Too, the second book. And I was there and watching it, and it was, you know, it was very full of a sort of ladies of a certain kind of, you know, the ladies who lunch, you know. But afterwards, I found myself surrounded by a lot of these women. And a couple of them, not all of them, but a couple did very quietly say to me, "Would you mind if I videoed you telling me to F off?" I said, "What?" And I thought, that really epitomizes the state that we are in. You know, they could sit all afternoon and they could hear these amazing words of wisdom from Ronan Farrow and quite scary stuff and then come up with that. So people live in a kind of curious paradox. Mm-hmm. The paradox seems to get deeper and deeper and more wide, you know, the more you see it.
So just listening to you talk, by the way, you've mentioned Mary Trump's book. You've mentioned Ronan Farrow's book. Would it be fair to say that in your free time, when you are consuming media, that more of it is news and current affairs than entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, I balance it. You know, I've been watching a lot of great, I really have, lockdown has given me an opportunity to see a lot of great shows, you know, like Call My Agent, Dee Person, the French show, which is very, very funny. I'm aware, you know, that there is this atmosphere that we live in. There's this terrible thing that we've been dealing with and people are dealing with in America. And this whole thing of the Trump era, what we've been through and the kind of the increasing craziness of that and the increasing kind of lack of reality. And it's no good. You know, we need moral authority. We need leadership. And we haven't got it. And of course, our show is exemplifying that and saying, look, this is what happened. It's also very entertaining as well. You know, it's funny, mm-hmm. it's entertaining, it's witty. And it's like a restoration comedy. You know, it's like a comedy of manners that we're seeing. This is the modern way. This is how people exist now.
Speaking of your show, the shooting of season 3, I understand, was delayed because of the pandemic. Do you have any sense of when that will resume and when the next season of Succession will come?
Yeah, it probably won't happen till the end of the year, probably not till November, but may not even be till the beginning of next year. I mean, I think what is great and what I really have some enormous respect and regard for HBO, because their protocols that they're putting in place, I mean, we've got a whole medical department now. We've got everything set up. And we will go when it's right to go. And we're going to go. I mean, the show is going to go. It's just that we will go at the right time and when everything is covered, you know, all bases are covered. So I suspect towards the end of the year, we will probably start, you know, putting on our socks to get ready to go.
And do you already know what's going to happen as this show continues, or is it a surprise to you when you look at the script?
Yes, I unfortunately do. All I know is, and now all I can say is, it's very, very exciting. I mean, it's really even. I mean, I didn't think season 2 could. It would take a lot to top season 2, but I think it's pretty amazing what. You know, the roller coaster ride that one is in for in season 3.
Well, I have to say, after season 2, now when I'm on a boat, I always ask, is this going to be a boat that's big enough and fancy enough where if you get an iPad and you look at it and you see something that you don't like, you can just throw the iPad over the side of the boat as somebody does in season 2 of Succession.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we live in kind of, it's a bit like the fall of the Roman Empire, we're kind of living in something where the paradigm, the political paradigm of the states and also here is shifting in a way that we have never really imagined. And it could be dangerous, but it also could be for the best. And I think we're going to see a whole different thing. This time next year, we'll be looking at be looking back and going, what was that that we lived through? And where did it come to? And why did it come to this? And will we ever let that happen again? You know, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the virus, but there's a hell of a lot you can do about the other kind of virus, the one that's the political virus, you know?
That is Brian Cox, who plays Logan Roy on Succession. He is up for an Emmy for Outstanding Lead Actor in a Drama. The Emmys are coming up on September 20th. Brian Cox, a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much, and congratulations on your nomination.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. Thank you.